Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Petra, something I've been thinking about a lot that I think you're going to have a lot of thoughts on. In fact, I think I even saw you wrote a blog post about this, is training versus coaching. And the reason why this comes up a lot is Marty Kagan has been a huge advocate for product coaches, which I love seeing. And he's even running events to help product coaches learn from each other and learn from SVPG. One of the challenges I see with that, though, is a lot of companies think they need a coach when maybe they need training or training and a coach, right? And so I would love to like just start with, tell me about training versus coaching. What's the difference? When do I want one versus the other? And maybe we can unpack this a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that. From whose perspective are we talking about it? Let's talk about it from the IC level perspective, the product manager, designer, that perspective, for example. So first of all, I think it makes sense to define these two words, knowledge, know-how, and skills, so capability, whatever you call that. So one is easy. You send people to training. They have a trainer. They walk them through, let's call it GDPR regulations. People learn about it. It's a one-time thing. They learn these new regulations. They can apply this right after they're coming back to the office. And then they have this know-how. They have this knowledge. They can build on that. That's fine. But most of the things we do in product is more skill-based. So your first opportunity, opportunity solution tree, your first discovery, maybe not that great. So you practice that over time. It has so many interwoven skills that you need to build at the same time. You have to understand underlying concepts and all these kind of things, right? So that's usually not a one-off training that you need. And this is the first moment where people could confuse coaching and training, because it seems to be an ongoing thing. And then they think, oh, ongoing is maybe not only a training thing. But I would say that's not true. A good training, a flipped classroom approach training, and I know that you are teaching a lot that way, right? Where you're flipping the entire experience from, and you can talk about that in a second, what you're doing there. But really, training can be, there is a bit of know-how that we need to share with you. But then we create a learning experience where you can test and trial and build some of these new capabilities on maybe made up examples. That's maybe fine for the time being. Then maybe on a more real life example. And then you go back home and try to use that in your day to day work. So that is still training from my perspective and not yet coaching. Along these lines, there hopefully happens a lot of self-paced learning, a lot of reading, a lot of the small try and error approach things that are going on. And then when do you need coaching? And for me, this is you read the books and the blog post, you try to apply some of that, you maybe went to a formal, well-thought-out training, and you learned a lot about the topic in general. Again, you try to apply the things that you learned there, and then you're at the point where you're rather happy with the current status quo, but think you could get even better with really focused help of somebody who has done this before, so has experience. That's what Marty always advocates for a lot, that a good product coach needs a lot of product experience. Or you could hire somebody who is really maybe not so experienced with the product management side of things, but really good in helping you to find your learning headlines and then really coach you towards this future self that you could picture for yourself. They could be a career coach, could be a personal coach. That's more for the human skill side of things, I'd say. But coaching is a bit of the cherry on the cake, I'd say. And it's not, I would not recommend for companies, especially in this transformation moments, to grant coaching for everybody on the team, because that's how we do things these days. That's my take right now.
Yeah, I have a really similar take to this. So first of all, I started as a coach and then I moved into training.
You started that as a discovery coach in particular, right?
I started as a discovery coach and then I moved into discovery training. And there's a really specific reason for this. So I agree with you. I almost think about it as there's three buckets. There's the bucket, I'll use an example. I'll use interviewing as an example. I bought Continuous Discovery Habits. I read chapter 5 about interviewing. I'm really excited at this idea of story-based interviewing and I want to try it. That's bucket one. I have a handle on the concepts. I know what the big ideas are, but I'm not sure how to get started. Maybe I tried it and it was harder than I thought it was going to be. That's like category one. And I think category one, blog posts, books, podcasts, YouTube videos, amazing. Gain the
Ton of
knowledge.
material out there, right? Tons of material.
Gain the knowledge. Then I think there's category two. Okay, I tried it and it was harder than I thought. So I need some structured practice. I need a way to build my skill so that when I do it, we don't learn to read by opening a book and trying to read, right? So we're guided through a way to break it down. We learn to sound out letters, right? So when we're learning to interview, when we try it and it was harder than we thought, we need to do something where we're getting some structured practice. And I think that's also training. We do that in our courses. So courses, I would say, are training, not coaching.
And it could be, sorry to jump in here, that could be if training is not, maybe not the thing your company is preferring, then a good structured community of practice could help you in this
Yeah.
moment as well.
Perfect. Okay, so where do I get practice? I can get practice from a course. I can get practice from a peer who's better at it than me. I could get practice from a coach. And that's what I did. That's what I did early on as a coach, and I'll explain why I stopped doing that. But I could, like I could get practice from a peer, I get practice from a course, I could get practice from a coach. The key
Mentor.
is I need structure. I need someone to tell me the best way to practice, and I need feedback on my practice. Right?
And oftentimes a well-designed learning environment.
Yeah, I think that's the structure practice part,
Yeah,
right?
okay.
Who's and that's where
Fair.
like a peer may have the skill, but they may not know how to break it down so that you can practice effectively, which is why I like courses for that. I'm biased. I have an interviewing course that does exactly that. But I do like that for that. There's this third bucket. Okay, I read the book, I understand the concept. I got some practice. I built my skill. I'm really confident now in being able to collect a story. Then I went back to my organizational context, and here's the thing. It
And I
was
hit a wall.
trickier than what I experienced in the class. And the reason why it's trickier is maybe like my product, my users are in another country. They have different cultural norms. They're not really responding to my interview question the way they did in the class. I need help. Like, I need help understanding this
We've seen
culture.
that. We've seen that.
Yeah, right? That's, I think, where coaching comes in. Or I'll give another example. I'm conducting great story-based interviews in my context because I took the class. I'm doing great at it, but I'm getting some pushback inside the organization. Some people are asking, like, "What is the point of these stories? I don't really
It
understand.
takes way too long to do it.
I'm not sure how to make the case." That's where a coach can help too, right? So.
Another case, for example, I do a lot of leadership coaching, right? And for them, oftentimes they are experienced leaders, but sometimes they're lacking the product background. And could they go to a training? Yes, but sometimes they need to learn it faster, way faster. They
Yep.
cannot afford to go to a training and learn at the pace that the others are learning at. So they really need a bit of a quick jump or something like that, a bit of a booster, and then a coach could kind of be a shortcut as well.
Or I would argue they need a training that's targeted for the leaders. And that, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of that yet. And that's where maybe the coach
Yeah,
is filling in.
and still, yeah. So leadership is this narrow niche already, and then some the B2B people have different challenges than the B2C people, which makes it even narrow. And sometimes it's just hard to find training that is targeted for that group of people to an extent that it's really still a good learning curve.
So what I love about this, like I started as a discovery coach and I would work with, let's say, 5 to 10 teams from the same company. And I thought when I started this business that the challenges we'd be facing would be coaching challenges. Like, I underestimated how hard it would be to learn how to interview well, or how hard the skill of assumption testing is, or even defining outcomes. Like, I just didn't think it was that hard to define outcomes. That's because I was suffering from the curse of knowledge. I knew how to do these things. I forgot other people don't know how to do these things. And so as I was coaching,
me as well.
Like as I was coaching, I recognized, like, in my coaching sessions, we weren't talking through specific organizational challenges. We were skill building. We were practicing. I was being the interview participant and they were interviewing me. I was observing their interviews and giving feedback. And I realized, like, doing that through coaching is the slowest way to do it. Because you're working with one team at a time. It costs a ton of money. Coaching is expensive, right? And I was like, wow, we got to find a way to make this scale. And the immediate need is skill building. And now,
that's interesting, because, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
So you moved from the product discovery coaching towards this training more people. To me, it was the same scaling idea that brought me from the discovery coaching, product management coaching, to the leadership coaching, because that's another way to scale, right? So I upskill the product leaders. I help them develop their teams, and I help them to guide their teams towards all the practices that we are talking about.
So they can then coach their teams.
Yeah.
But I would argue, even in that instance, a product leader doesn't need to be doing, like, I agree with Marty.
No, the
product leader should be coaching all of their teams. That doesn't mean they need to teach all their teams how to conduct an effective interview.
Trainings, well designed. Can you maybe talk about the flipped classroom approach for a second?
Yeah, so this, we do this in all of our deep dive courses. Continuous interviewing is our deep dive course about how to build skill around interviewing. The way that it works, it's not a typical internet class where you just read a bunch of stuff and click next, 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 and then you're done. Instead, each week you get a module delivered. It's videos, you see example interviews, you see bad interviews, you see why they were bad, you see good interviews, why they were good. You get some theory, like, why is this working this way? You get some tactical stuff, like, how do I actually collect a story? And then you come to class. So you go through all that content on your own time. Then you come to class, and in our class, it's a live session led by a real instructor, and we go into breakout rooms and we practice interviewing each other. And you get an interview prompt, you try to collect a story, and your peers give you feedback on how you collected that story. And we give your peers what they're listening for, so they know how to give feedback, right? And then we rotate roles. And so you learn by doing with getting feedback. You learn by observing other people. You learn by having to give other people feedback, and we get lots of practice reps in. And it's the practice reps. You don't realize, like, sure, I understand the concept. I should collect a story, keep them grounded in a specific instance. And then you try it and it's hard.
Yeah.
Right? And it stops being hard after rounds and rounds and rounds of practice. And that's what the course is designed for. And this is this, like, sure, I tell everybody, you don't need to pay to take my course. You can find somebody who's good at this and ask them, like, how did you get good at it? The challenge is, what I think we underestimate is there is a skill in designing effective practice. How do I deconstruct this complex skill? Yeah. So, like, for example, in our interviewing class, we don't learn everything all at once. We start with, here's why a story matters. Here's some simple tips on how to collect a story. We practice that. Then we layer on active listening. And we talked about how some of the most common active listening techniques actually helps us collect a better story.
Yeah. That's
right?
That's by the way, a similar thing in my leadership coaching, because oftentimes people argue there is this definition of coaching where the coach is only there to ask thought-provoking questions, right?
Yeah.
To help you realize what you need to do and what your next steps are. And I think there is nothing wrong with that. And there are coaches that work that way, that have basically no product management work, but still could be helpful in some sort of form. I once wrote a blog post, why agile coaches can't be product coaches. And I tried to make it as helpful as possible. So for the agile coaches that want to coach their product people, because nobody else does, right? I think that's the value that they still could bring to the table. So they could ask the right question at the right time. They might feel some friction or where things are moving slower than they think are necessary. So they could ask good questions, even if they have no deep product knowledge. But if you have a product discovery coach, a product leadership coach, a product management coach, an interviewing coach, whatever coach you want to hire, it's a slightly different approach to coaching, I think, which is helpful for the people. And that's a bit more direction, a bit more prescription. It's kind of, okay, I saw other clients that have been in a similar spot, and these are the five things that help them to get unplugged, right?
Yeah.
It's the making suggestions, it's designing the experience, because I know, okay, there are 20 options that this one person now could pull.
Yeah,
but these four are the ones that are most likely priming them for success. So I only talk them through those four. So it's a bit of a designed, guided learning experience as well, even if it's still coaching.
And that's where, like, when I was working as a coach, I did a lot of coaching, but I also did a lot of training, right? There's a little bit of this hybrid model. What I would argue, if we go all the way back to our original example of, I read the book, I learned about story-based interviewing, I took the course, I started practicing in my environment, and I got stuck because of this other culture.
Yeah.
I can now go hire a coach who's familiar with story-based interviewing from that culture.
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, you're not going to get that in a course. There's not going to be a course on how to interview people in Portugal following story-based interviewing, right?
Yeah.
But you can find someone who has a lot of experience with that. And even if that person isn't trained in traditional coaching skills, holding space, asking powerful questions, naming what they see, helping you see blind spots, helping you reflect on your thinking, they can still be really helpful at helping you overcome these obstacles.
Yeah, and exactly.
Do you know that I recently searched for the title product coach on LinkedIn?
I know, and we talked about it, shared with the public.
Yeah, there are 7,500 product coaches. And I want to dig into this a little bit, because we'll do a whole nother session on how to pick a product coach where we can dive into this deeper. But I think, like, the really important thing here is you can read and learn concepts in a book. You need to find a way to get structured practice. I really like courses and training for that, but there are other ways. You can work with a coach to overcome your specific challenges that you're facing. If you think about it in those three buckets, how do I pick one of those 7,500 product coaches? This is where I think Marty says they need to have a lot of experience, but it's not that they need to work at Google and Netflix and Amazon. They need to have experience with the thing you're facing a challenge around.
I saw amazing product coaches, by the way, that have been long-time product leads that have helped, I don't know, dozens of product people to pick up the craft and to really get better in what they actually do. So they focused on people. They have no formal coaching training or coaching certificate, but they've done it for years and years within the organization that they're from. And so that definitely would be people I would recommend people to hire.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay, I think we really have settled on a very nice distinction. Hopefully this helps people.
Training.
Yeah, hopefully this helps people. And we'll come back later and talk about how to choose a coach.
We will.
Thanks, Petra.
Thanks, Teresa.